I'm Tommy Beardmore.
I'm Adam DiCarlo.
And welcome to Before the Break, a podcast for actors
by actors,
brought to you by Working Actor Pro.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Before the Break. This week, we are thrilled to meet our guest. You've seen her on such shows as NCIS, Grey's Anatomy, The Resident, and Magnum PI, and she's had recurring roles on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Castle. Please welcome to the show the very talented Maya Stoyan. Woo-hoo. Hello, Maya.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi, Maya. Thanks for being here.
I'm so grateful to be here.
Welcome. Where in the world are you right now?
I am in Long Beach, California.
Lovely.
Not far from my neck of the woods. I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm in New York City now, but I used to be near
Long Beach. Oh, you're in New York. See, I didn't even. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that. Yes. In your emails. Yeah.
So you did a lot of schooling on the East Coast. Were you born West or were you born East and then came to California?
I was born in Switzerland, Geneva. So right. Neither
born there, born.
So far, far to the east, but across a pond,
New right. York, and then way further, an yeah. ocean away, and then a little bit more.
When did you move? When did you move here?
I was 18. I was 18, and I moved to. Sorry, I moved to Connecticut. So you're correct with the East Coast. I studied actor training at the Hart School in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, you got your BFA, right?
I did indeed. Whoa, I know. Okay. Seems like a
the Hart School in Hartford. They were like, "What should we call it?"
Yeah.
Well, we're in Hartford,
and it's not like the Hart. Hart?
No, it's H-A-R-T. Yeah, all right, double T.
Yeah. So studied there 4 years, and I had a golf scholarship. So it wasn't even theater. I came.
You're a golfer, Maya. Get out.
I am. I was very much a golfer. Now I'm just a casual.
Right.
Casual golfer. But it's what brought me to America.
So many similarities with golf and acting, I'll tell you what.
Oh, we'll
get into it.
I know you're joking, but
I was joking, but I'm actually not joking now because I'm thinking like there are so many similarities.
There really are.
All right, let's get into that in a second. So tell us about growing up in Switzerland. I'm so interested in that. What was your upbringing like? What was your town like?
You know, it was, I'm not even going to try and make it at all interesting and with a twinge of drama. It was just, it was bliss.
Just lay it on me. Yeah.
It was pure bliss.
Really?
My internal life mentally, maybe not, but where I actually grew up was stunning. I mean, Switzerland is a place that I recommend to everyone to go to at least one time.
Would love to.
My cousin, when she was in college, she would nanny during the summer and she would go to Switzerland. She'd be sending us pictures of like their town or any town really that she was traveling in. And it was always just like, this is a postcard. You could just print it and sell it because it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on Lake Geneva, you know, and had the Alps in the background and yodeled my way to school every day.
Clogs and everything. God bless her, the wooden clogs. I don't think that's Switzerland, is it? The wooden clogs? No.
Yeah, of course it is.
Look at me.
Yes, look at you.
I know my culture. Lovely. Yes, okay, so when did the acting thing happen? Was that there or were you? Well, obviously it was there because you had moved to America for acting. So how did that come to be?
Yes. So I was extremely shy growing up. I had a lot of anxiety. I had severe OCD, which I now talk about a lot more. But
I ask what was the, because people with OCD have so many different, it comes out in different ways. Can I ask what was the most pronounced symptom?
It was before bed. So it would take me sometimes up to 2 hours to get ready for bed. Just with different rituals and things.
Right. Just every tooth got its own 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, no, but yes, that could be OCD indeed.
Maybe.
So yeah, I mean, it was definitely, challenging. So
yeah, I can imagine.
I was incredibly shy, and my mom thought that it would be a good idea. I think I was about 13 to put me in a acting class, which I thought, my God, like, you know,
worst nightmare.
Yeah, terrible. And so,
what part of shy do you not understand? Now she's like, I want my 10%. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. She just put me in an acting class, and I played a bird. So I had no lines. My first role was this bird, and I had this giant bird mask and had no lines whatsoever. But I remember being on stage and thinking, like, I could do this. Like, I could probably, you know. It was my therapy to just step into the shoes of someone else and not be myself, not have to have, you know, that, I want to say that burden. It wasn't that dramatic.
Isn't that wild how going out of your comfort zone so much like that can then come around where you're like, oh, actually, I love this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really dive into this.
That's
and that
wonderful.
Thing that sounded so terrifying to you was like your escape, kind of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really feel like in my case, the obstacle was the way, you know?
Oh, wow.
That's the title.
Well, that's
the
title. Yeah, right? Jesus. Prenet.
Boom.
That's lovely. And man, you're speaking my language, because, you know, we don't do this just for the fun of it. Like, for some reason, in some way and somehow, it's magic for some of us. And when you're young and burdened, maybe is a correct word, because there were things that I was struggling with as a kid that I was set free when my sister threw me up on that stage, and it took care of a lot of problems for me, you know? So, love that. That's so cool. And such an interesting introduction to the art form, because you're going to go through the rest of your life knowing, well, if it's scary and if it's uncomfortable, it might be great.
Oh yeah, I have some good horror stories. So.
Oh gosh!
If you ever need to feel better about yourself, just call me.
Have you ever asked your mom what prompted her to, like, oh, maybe let's put my acting class?
I don't even know, because it's so interesting. My sister, who's a brilliant doctor now, but she just went through regular schooling, so she just, you know, speaks French. My first language is French as well, but she, you know, stayed in regular French schools, French system. And then my mom just put me in an international school to learn English at 15 and speak. So I've asked her this, and she was just like, it was just a gut intuition feeling of, you know, I was like, how did I end up in America? I don't even know. It just happened. But
I assume her intention was to, like, oh, maybe this will get her out of her shell a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe I'm trying to think if, like, it was a question if I wasn't that smart, because like my sister was very academic, and Swiss schools are probably like very academic and kind of like in your box. And I was very alternative. Like, I was always a weird kind of awkward kid with a lot of tics, a lot of weirdness. Yep. And it just seemed like I didn't fit in a regular school system.
Yeah, no, it's so funny, Adam. We see that a lot, don't we? When we're interviewing people, it's always like we start at the beginning for a very specific reason. And I think it's because we have a lot of the same stories where it's like, I just did it. It was like the puzzle piece that kind of fit, but you had to like jam it in there. You know, and then we found our way and found our thing. But there's something really poetic and consistent about the tics, the things, the stuff that you had as a kid. So whenever I see my little brothers and sisters and they have friends who maybe have something like that, it's like, you're special. There's something about you, and you're probably going to do something cool, you know, something different, alternative.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah. A lot of our guests during this period in their life are like, you know, I was just a little bit different.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I try to think, like, aren't we all, right. Aren't we all just, don't we all feel just a little bit special and, you know, different at the same time? And that's a great thing about, you know, I don't think many people go around being like, I'm just your average Joe. I'm just normal. I mean, maybe, but
But definitely there are people
I want to be around.
There are people who have the I don't fit in feeling. And that's different than different. Everybody's different. Everybody's interesting. Everybody's unique. Yeah. But there's something a little different about the feeling of not being comfortable and feeling, you know. So we seek these things out. A lot of it is music, absolutely. And a lot of it is my
husband and I just yesterday sang karaoke, and I felt so comfortable singing I'm a Creep. I'm a Weirdo.
Nice.
So, Radiohead.
Love it. Love that song.
Definitely.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So talk to us about after you got the seed was planted and you're like, oh, this is cool. What did you do in those younger years?
You did seed, bird. Right. Birds eat seeds. See what you did there?
I meant to do that as well.
She started as a bird.
Idiot. So what do you, what happened? I'm talking maybe high school years that solidified your kind of involvement. Did you do the plays and all that? Did they have all that stuff?
In Switzerland. Okay. So before I went to college, you're saying,
right.
Yeah, I did. The thing that I remember the most is we had to pick two different monologues, and they actually got me into the Hart School. Pick two monologues that we'd then perform in front of the school. And I picked one monologue was in French, and I played this like super stoner gangster chick, like, you know, like it was really popular. I don't know if it was in America, but to like wear your trainers inside your socks, like your sweatpants inside your socks.
With right.
Like sneakers. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was like
I think they do that in prison. Very,
like, rap. So I rapped a monologue and I had to write it
in French.
In French.
Yeah.
And it was so inappropriate. So inappropriate. But like just in front of like parents and like I was smoking.
Everyone's like in Switzerland?
And I was smoking.
You're smoking?
Yeah. Well, not a real J, Europe. But like, you know, and
oh my God.
My parents loved it though. I do remember that. They were, and people,
that's our girl.
People liked it. Like they enjoyed it. And then my other monologue was me being a nun with a British accent and speaking in English.
Perfect. So
talk about range.
I covered
perfect.
The basis, but that's what that, and it was just so funny. Just, I was, to think of the shy little girl, and then all, I think that's why my parents maybe were just like, huh, this is cool. Cause like it was just
love
so
it.
Not me, you know, like this little.
You're putting on the nun's habit. Your parents are like, bring it home, Maya, let's go.
But maybe it was you, Maya. Like, do you think that maybe that was you, where you desperately did want to do this stuff, but you can't do it in real life?
Totally. And I think, I think I always secretly, so my sister wanted to be a movie star, like from very young age. She ended up being this brilliant doctor and she's the brains of the family. And
what medicine does she practice?
She's in palliative care.
What is that?
It's you basically take care of people that are dying.
Oh, geriatric stuff. Great.
No, not geriatric. It's people that are suffering or like going.
I see. Dying. I'm sorry. I went to age, old age. You're talking about.
Age, but there are young people that die all the time.
That's true, Tommy.
I hate to tell you this, Tommy.
I don't know if you know this. It happens.
It happens. Yeah. So it's a job that only very few people can do, I think.
Oh, God bless. Wow.
What a saint.
World.
Okay, so. And you're an actor.
Wow.
I know.
Like if we all
I'll
just
play a doctor on TV.
Right.
But no.
You call your sister. All right. So what do I need to know?
And actually she's helped me many times. But she always wanted to be the movie star. So I always felt like I couldn't take that really away from her. But then luckily she like changed paths. So I was like, okay, maybe I can actually.
They
do
say
this.
That about siblings, where if there's a sibling who excels in something or wants to do something, that sibling does not participate. The other sibling doesn't participate.
No, I just wanted her to shine. And I was always like in all the family videos, I was always the like sidekick to the side that would just nod and like.
And this, you're the younger sister, right? So you're the sidekick automatically, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't want to step on those toes, but when she started doing medicine kind of, or maybe.
Yeah, she was just academic. On a different path. And then I realized, like, just genuinely, like, that was something. I didn't even know that I was going to be an actress, to be honest. I was like, how on earth in the middle of bumblefuck Switzerland am I going to end up? There's no acting in Switzerland. Yeah. So it was like a dream, but like not possible. Like, it's just not gonna, I'll end up being something else.
Yeah. It must feel like that's on another planet and I don't know how to get to another planet.
I talked to my friends in Switzerland and they're just no idea of what movies or TV, like how it happens, like what goes on behind it. They're like, oh, why aren't you in a big blockbuster movie? Like, why can't you just do that? And I'm like,
are you an Avenger? No.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, it did feel kind of like that, of like, what are actors? Like, what is that? Yeah. You know?
Oh my God. Even in Ireland, my cousins are like, I wish, like, we can't just transition into that. They don't have anything. They might have, like,
we have
Dublin,
lot,
you're going to have casting.
I hate to say it to you Americans. I'm assuming you're both American, but yeah. It's a lot harder for immigrants.
Big time.
We just
big time.
Somebody we just had on from England, and we got into all like the visa stuff, and it's like you don't think about
nightmare.
All of that, especially before you've like really, really broken out, and you're trying to just begin all of it, which is hard enough when you live here, let alone having to do, you know,
right.
all the visa and green card and have a sponsor and oh my
but that
gosh,
being said, I feel bad saying that it's harder. It's also, to me, it was once again, I think, just a fire again, you told me I could cuss, but a fire up my ass to just really do something, because otherwise I'd get deported. If I didn't do it within a year, I'd have to just leave.
That gives you a lot of intention.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a blessing in disguise, where we don't have the luxury to just stick around.
Yep, totally. Wow, that's very interesting. And so you did your monologues. You got into Heart.
Yes.
And you were there for 4 years. I'm sure they did the plays and all that stuff, like
big
all the
fear.
You know. And you graduated with BFA.
Yes.
That was a focus on acting, obviously. Theater acting. I don't know. Sometimes
theater acting. Yeah.
Okay. So what was the plan getting out there? What were you doing to prepare for the next step, which was like the actual industry?
Oh God, going back to that phase. It was honestly a nightmare, because my international supervisor said that no matter what, I'd have to go home. Like, there was actually
after school.
Yeah, and he told me basically, not word for word, but like, there's no chance that you're going to make it. Like, because you'd have to.
Yeah. You want to say that to someone who's at the beginning of the pursuit.
Well, I was sobbing.
Oh my God.
But there's no way I'm going to make it, because I would already have to prove at this point that I'm worthy of staying in the country, that I could basically, he was good enough to be like, well, you might be able to stay a year, but you'd have to go back. Like, there's no way in a year that you'd be able to prove that you're of exceptional value, because the only way actors can stay is with an O-1 visa, which shows that you're exceptional. And and there was no other way. So,
that's so wild that a country will like give you something that says you're exceptional enough to stay here. Like, this is a piece of
paper. Needless to say, I got denied that visa multiple times. Until I made it.
And it's so crazy.
I can't
like,
imagine
the language of it, like, you know,
of
utter and it's like, I'm just trying to start extraordinary excellence. I just want a fucking audition. Oh my God.
You have to be famous in your country first. And I was like, famous in my country, famous in Switzerland. Who's famous in Switzerland?
I'm not a banker.
That's it. Yeah. Right. That's so interesting. So you were denied this a couple of times.
So I stayed a year. What did I do that first year? I have no idea what I did that first year. It's all a blur. But what I do know is that I was very determined at that point and motivated. And I would go and sit inside, not USC, LA Film School. And I would wait to see.
So that's what you did. You came from the East
I went
to
straight
LA.
To LA. I was like, LA, my
film
jam.
TV, no theater. You weren't going to do that shit.
I had zero experience outside of, well, I did a Christmas Carol on Hartford stage. That was my only outer experience of theater at that point.
So you knew where you were going. Okay.
But I went to LA, with our class from college, and I went to LA and did a showcase, and, I don't think I got any responses from agents or managers. I was just like, I'm going to go there. But I would sit in that school, LA Film School, and wait for them to run auditions for short films, for student films. And I would see if like the girls in the corridor would sort of look like me. And then I booked, I think, a good two or three shorts that way, because I didn't have an agent. I didn't have anything. And they'd be like, oh, you're not on the list. And I'd just be like, oh, I called
yesterday and they said it was fine.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Come in.
It was always just a bullshit story just to get in the door.
Good for you.
But I was motivated. And I, at that point, I had no, again, everyone was like, oh, we'll see you in Switzerland. Like, we'll see you back. Like, I think at that point, no one believed that I was going to stay. And I just had to make it happen under all circumstances. So I did, because then I opened up a company. I mean, I did whatever it took to, I had a very alternative journey, I think. But
yeah, yeah. So what were the things that you did? I mean, I did everything I could. Adam did everything. We left our fucking homes. We took jobs that were awful. We were in poverty for years. What were some of those things? Because we have listeners who are like at the beginning of their journey, who aren't expecting to like, am I really going to have to suffer? What's going to happen? What did you have to do to kind of make a name for yourself and get some momentum?
Honestly, it's just, I was constantly immersed in acting. Like, immersion to me, I think, is what I would recommend young actors. Just be in an acting class 100%. Find that money, find that support. And you know, get a side job, have a life, but at the same time, like, hang out with other actors, create your own short films. Like, just, I did so many casting director workshops that I knew every casting director in town, so much so that I opened up my own casting director workshop company. And I was young. I was 25, I think, when I opened it, 24,
wow.
25. And then again, I knew all casting directors in town and booked so many jobs that way. I know that you're not supposed to say that. It's a big controversy but I'm like, whatever it takes to meet the people that will give you jobs, not that casting directors will automatically give you an audition. That's not at all the case. In fact, it's a class.
Right.
And that's all it is. But if they like you, if you show good work, then, you know, but I always say, like, you've got to invest in yourself. Like, there's no miracle. Like, you have to, like, everyone does that. And people are like, oh, we have to pay for class. We have to pay for this. Well, doctors do, lawyers do, any job that will eventually lead you to a certain standard of success, or what we would determine whatever success is. But you have to spend that money in order to get there. Like, it's
the hustle, because it's on your own time. It's not like you're in an institution of school or anything.
Yes.
It's you're out in the real world, and it's like, okay, you better get it going and do this stuff, because there's no one to hold your hand. There's no one to do it for you. And that's all the hustle and years of hard work that nobody sees. And then you break out and they're like, wow, you're just an overnight success. And it's like,
that was not.
Do you have any idea what it has fucking taken to get to this point? Like, nobody sees any of that.
How many thousands of dollars that we didn't have went to workshops that maybe didn't even go anywhere. But the fact is, when you're in that mode, it's like a story. At the end of a story, when it all works out, you get that relief as an audience member because of the struggle of the story and the investment of the characters and all the stuff that they had to do to get to that point. You don't get the feeling of relief without that stuff. So if I'm on the sidelines and I'm just like waiting for auditions and I get it, that's one way. But if I'm going into debt and I have three jobs and I'm breaking my back and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm doing it every week, week in, week out for years and years, and then things happen, it's because of that hard work and that investment. that give the power to that journey, you know? So totally agree with you. I think that a lot of people are expected to just be given information because this is a YouTube generation where they can get educated for free. But the fact is, you know, the people who have this information got it by paying a lot of money and spending a lot of time getting it, you know?
Well, and acting is a practice. Like, you can't just be a good actor by reading a book.
Right.
Like, you've got to actually just do it. And you've got to do it in front of people. You've got to just, it's a tool that you've just got to just be the best you can be. And honestly, like, my people are always like, oh, how did you gain success? Or how did you, I mean, you know, and I'm not, we're never where we want to be anyway. But all I say is, like, I work harder than anyone I know. That's it. Like, I work harder than any, I run lines up to 100 times for each audition I get. Like, no miracles. Like, I don't have a secret wand. I just, I read scripts over and over again. I do all my script analysis. I do all my, and for some people it's like, oh, I get drunk the night before and I book the job the next day and I walk in, you know, hang over.
Right. Everybody's got their.
That's happened to me.
Right.
I mean, it's happened.
Same. But like you said, at a certain point in your career, Maya, you couldn't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Because it was either do the work or get shipped off.
Yeah.
So it was like there was no your standard of excellence to become what was that? For the visa? Oh,
the extraordinary capability or extraordinary something. I don't even remember. I was
an actor of extraordinary capabilities.
Yeah.
You just had such a high standard.
Meryl Streep maybe has that. Like, that's about it.
That's so crazy.
I mean, they gave it to me, which, trust me, that's not the case. Not even now, I would say, but especially not at the time. But
no, but you're right, Adam, the standard. And that's what it is. Like, it's people's level of standard. And if I'm reaching that standard, I have a high standard. If I'm reaching that, then I'm doing my job. If I'm half-assing it, I'm not going to book the role. I don't feel confident when I'm entering something. But if I'm the guy that's getting drunk the night before going in and it works for me, well, that standard is maybe a little lower.
But that standard, I guarantee that person has still worked on their craft prior. Like, the times that I've booked jobs where beforehand, like, I had a car accident or whatever, and I was so out of my head, it was still like I had done the work, and subconsciously it just flew through me because I was so relaxed.
You're right. Whatever. Yeah,
but
you're right.
It's, I don't think it was because I got drunk and hungover.
Right.
Like, it had nothing to do with that. It was just like, I was free. You know, present.
Like, okay, very good. And so at in your mid 20s, you're doing the workshops and stuff. You're obviously setting yourself apart in that way. You were heading up workshops. You were hosting them.
Yeah. Me and two other girlfriends. Cool. Well, I had started taking tons of workshops and I saw the benefits of it. And I saw that I was, you know, getting somewhere with it by just meeting these casting directors. And it was just so cool to see, just like, it took away all fear, first of all, because I was just seeing, being a reader for them. I saw how much they just really want to be there for the actor. And like, how they just want to, if they could, they'd give you all the work in the world. They want you to do good, you know? And so every
casting director is rooting for you.
Absolutely.
Every cast director, they're rooting for you.
You can walk in trusting that. They want you to be good, and that's it.
You are a reader, and we've said it before. We've all been readers before, and that really has been the game changer for me. My entire audition process completely changed because you just have this new perspective of like what it looks like on the other side. Completely different. Now I'm walking in knowing the whole world. It's not just an actor, right? We've talked about that before. So that most definitely helped you get to that next level because you were let in a world where most actors don't get to see that. Right.
I think that was really the turning point in my life when I started. The real turning point was a big breakup in my life. And it finally gave me like the courage to just be like, I'm all in, like whatever it takes. And then I found the workshops. So if anyone's going through a breakup right now, they can be the best thing that ever happened to you. But and then that gave me, I think, the motivation, the courage to really just fully dive into myself and just take up all that time and energy and put it towards my goal.
And so where were we on the booking spectrum here? I see that, and just, this is just from IMDb, things really began technically 09, 10, and 11. Those were the first few years that you were logging professional credits that were attributed to those years, at least.
Yeah.
So how was the process of when you were beginning to book? Did it start slow? Were there droughts? What was it like?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, that will never change, I think, throughout your entire... I mean, I'm probably way older than you guys.
No, you and I are the same age.
Okay. Well, there you go. I just maybe feel a little...
47 bit. Years old.
Yeah,
you both look fabulous.
Fucking great.
We all look so young. It's fine. Okay. Yeah. So, well, I mean, at the beginning... And I feel like I really started working, what was it, when I was 27, so like 8 years ago. What is that? 2015, maybe?
15-ish.
Yeah, well, actually, 2013. 2013 okay. was when I, so yeah, oh God, 9 years ago. I think is when I first really just started thinking that, oh, okay, maybe I can do something with this.
You loosened up in the room and you felt a little more confident. And then of course more confidence validation comes. No.
Okay. No, I think I still like the confidence is really put on, I think, because ultimately I think there's always healthy amounts of insecurity and I think that'll never go away. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's true. It gives you good energy and keeps you on your toes. And you're
always, you know, as much as I trust that the next job is coming, you still at this level are like, wait, what? Like, I haven't worked in how many months? Like, what's happening?
Oh my God, I know.
But it always comes. That job always shows up and it's never.
You're always one away. You're always one away.
And it really was, again, I don't even know how I booked these. There was no rhyme or reason. I think when it's that role is meant for you, it's just meant for you. Just keep showing up. Like stay in line and then people get out of line and then all of a sudden it's your turn. But that turn can take up to 5-6 years, you know.
Big time.
Yeah, I would say for me, I was 21, 22 when I moved and then took five years, I want to say, before I really started working. And
how about did you get your representation?
Oh, representation. My first agent was on the verge of death because he must have been like almost 100 years old.
Geriatric.
Yes, he was in fact geriatric. And
your sister worked with him.
Yeah.
No.
She works with regular dying people, Adam.
She could have, but God bless. I still remember his name. May he rest in peace, I'm sure. Jack Spignetti. And
what a great name.
Never booked a single audition with, like, never even had an audition with him. And then
he's faxing you sides.
I think I didn't, honestly, it was way later that I actually had someone working for me and I think it took me a good 3 or 4 years to really have like a good agent. And that's normal. I feel like, you can't expect to just get a really good agent right off the bat. Like it just doesn't.
That is so different for everybody.
Yeah.
So many people we have on, they just fall into something. And in the back of my head, I'm like, that took so long. And for me, that was a lot of money just trying to get in the fucking room. You know, like at a certain point, it's like I have nothing else to do but do like pay to play stuff, which stinks, but there wasn't any other option. And at the time I didn't really have people in my life who were making things like they are now where, you know, I could have like gotten a Taft-Hartley to like, you know, become SAG eligible. And,
I did background work. Yeah, for sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, and again, yeah,
but that road is long sometimes and it sucks.
And people, you know, you're right. People probably do get like great agents right off the bat. And that's awesome for them. But I think the most likely under the most likely event. You just have to be patient with yourself and then you'll meet people. But also, like, I don't know, for me, I wasn't that talented coming out of college. Like, it just, I wasn't a good actor yet. Like, I really wasn't. I didn't have the chops or what it takes to be a guest star on a TV show.
And that is, I feel like, Maya, that happens a lot. I mean, there's raw talent and then there's training, but then there's the training that you get 5 years in when you've done a handful, a big handful of projects, you've gotten experience. What do you think was the thing that lifted you up to that next level?
Made me a better actor.
Of talent. Yeah. Exceptional capability.
That's still not happening.
Worthy of not being deported.
Right.
Honestly,
put that on your website.
If I'm very honest, I feel like I'm only just starting now. I feel like I'm only, like, I feel like I just in the last 2, 3, 4 years, I feel like I'm finally like a good actor.
Isn't like, that cool that you can, this business isn't something where, like, a lot of jobs, you get the degree, you go into the job, and then you do the job for 30 some years. And there's not much evolution because of the content at which that you're dealing with. It's just the job. For us, I think every few years, every 5 years, every 10 years, there seems to be this transitional developmental stage that's new, and you get to like enjoy. It's like, wow, you've been doing this for 10-ish, 15 years, and you're coming into this amazing little level of like, wow, I'm feeling like I'm completely different than even 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah. And that happens, I think, if you really keep wanting to grow. Like, I'm always in that. I'm still in an acting class. I still put people on tape. I still read with people all the time. Mm. I still do workshops here and there. Like, I'm never going to stop, because that's the only way you grow. Like, I think if you just stay in the gym of acting and keep honing in your craft, like, more will be revealed. But it's always so funny to me when people achieve a like minimum amount of success and they're like, I don't need class anymore. It's like, oh, well, not for me. Like, I know that, you know, I want to be the best I can be.
You can get stale pretty quickly.
So many of our guests, they always give the advice and of class and just especially if you are moving to a new city, class is a great place to begin to start meeting people, create a little tribe and community of actors, show up, do good work, and you never know what anybody in there is going to be working on or doing or think of you for. Right. And then right there, you have like a little community of like-minded people where you can ask, hey, is anybody working on anything? Does anybody know about audition? You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes it's hard to like have a tribe of people who are doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
The more people, you know, definitely. I think, I mean, I still have lifelong friends that aren't even actors anymore, but that I met in my first acting class, you know? And
oh, absolutely. I was just thinking about a film that we had done a long time ago, and how still connected we all are. You know what? It was actually a play, and it was in Chicago. And every year that this picture pops up, we all send it through a message saying, miss you, love you. Like, and yesterday I was thinking, I don't talk to these people aside from this sort of reconnection every year. And it's, I don't think that you can get that with normal jobs. You know, you just don't get that kind of closeness, that kind of connection. And even in classes too, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I haven't even looked at you guys' resumes. Have you guys been on shows?
We're very big. We do our bit.
In New York. Yeah.
He's in New York. I just moved from New York. I'm in LA.
Oh, cool.
My wife and I moved about a year ago. Thank you. It's great. Love
it. I'm in that place of like, I have like 7 co-stars and I'm auditioning more than I've ever auditioned in my life. And I have all these offices that continually bring me in. So it's like,
awesome.
I'm in that headspace of like, I know I'm doing something right. I'm like waiting on my number.
It's the number. It's every day you go to the deli. Every day you go to the deli.
There's no like co-star to, and the thing is like, just also, it's not advice at all, but it's I remember booking co-stars and thinking like same thing, like there's okay, but there's like a, you graduate then to guest star, you graduate to then recurring, then you graduate to series. Like there's
like
none
a staircase,
of that.
Right?
There's none of that whatsoever. Like you could book your series rec tomorrow,
especially and, now because co-stars are now guest stars. Yeah, they're labeled as co-stars. Could be
you know everything. Yeah. Every audition comes in and they're all different. You know, so yeah. It'll be. It's not as though I don't audition for like a major recurring on a series or a guest star. Or, you know, it's like, it's a little bit of everything. It's not as though, you know, there's never been a guest star or recurring or.
But people, I think that might be listen, you know, that might be listening. Don't know that necessarily. Cause I always thought like, okay, like if I book this amount of, then people will consider me or if I, you know, it just doesn't matter. Just be good. Like do good.
Just be good. Right. Yeah. We cast something and once we set everything in stone, that's when we started to look up our actors that we had, my wife and I cast. And we're like, oh, this one's an Emmy winner. This one has been on this show. Oh, wow. That stuff doesn't really matter. The audition is the audition that gets you the job. And then the resume stuff. That's good. That's good. Maybe for the second look or the third callback or something, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we've talked about that on this show before. Yeah. We're like, there just aren't enough minutes in a day with how many people casting directors see just for one role. And let's just say that series that they're doing for that episode, you know, there's 15 co-stars, guest stars, recurring, all that. Just for one role, they're going to, you know, get maybe 1,000 submissions. They don't have time to go Tommy, Maya, Adam. What's their resume? What's their reel? Yeah. There just isn't that kind of time. Yeah. Like maybe down, and I've been told from the horse's mouth, like, yeah, maybe if we like really, really love you and it's between you and somebody else and the
then
director, you know, yeah, it's like, well, what else then have they, you know, then we'll inquire about that stuff. But really, it is truly headshot. Does this fit the world that we are trying to cast?
Oh, for sure. I think they're like, it's kind of like, unfortunately, it's a lot of it is just roll of the dice. And it's
a lottery, baby. Yeah,
it's just gonna be your turn when it's your turn.
And but
totally.
If you know what kind of numbers are called, you know the type of, you know, like if I'm playing the lottery, that's a lottery. But I know how I'm going to be doing this tape, and I know that casting director and how they like to be talked to, and like I know the numbers that they're gonna be using. So the more you do it, the more quickly that you're gonna be banking on the lottery
getting called, right? So much better.
Yeah,
the
so much better.
On that lottery just get better and better, and then you're always in the top five. You
well, know? So let's talk about the lottery picks that you've had. So the first thing that I'm seeing, Entourage and Criminal Minds. These were your first kind of big name shows that probably ushered you into some of these rooms. How was it getting these co-stars? I assume that they were co-stars.
They were co-stars, yes.
So how
you worked
was that
with the legendary Stan Lee, correct?
I did.
Oh, you played as assistant in Entourage.
And then I, you know, little did I know that later on I'd be on a Marvel show, but I, you know,
it was such
synchronicity, but obviously nothing to do with me meeting him at that day.
Sure.
He was such a love, but
that must have been huge for you, though. I mean, you know,
oh my God, it was so massive. It was so massive, and I was seen on screen maybe for 5 seconds.
Oh yeah,
but
baby,
it felt blink. Like I was. I have made it. I am a star. I remember they even cut like a lot of, quite a bit of that scene that I was in.
You had a monologue as a nun, and they were like, just cut it.
Not it. No, but I mean, it was, again, like, it's funny, like, if I look back at every role I booked, it was always a thing. So, like, I think that the director's daughter was named Maya, and he was like, oh, my daughter was named Maya when I saw your tape, like, and I was like, oh, awesome, great, you know, like, there's always, like, a little thing. And then Criminal Minds, I knew Scott David, I had taken his workshop. His workshops, the casting director, sorry, of Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Taken a bunch of his workshops, and it was like the third, like I booked a short film through him. I had worked on another movie, I believe. And then, so this was, again, he had called me and, oh no, I booked Criminal Minds. Sorry. I had already booked Criminal Minds and I couldn't work on it because I didn't have the right paperwork for my visa. So that was the most devastating day of my life.
So to an actor who doesn't, you know, you now have this big long list of credits, but when you only have these little things and you lose something, it's like burn the world.
End
just burn it.
The freaking world. I thought my life was over.
Go back.
I was gonna drive to
on set room. Once the director gave some of my lines to somebody I was in a scene with.
Sure.
And I was like, but yeah. I want that two sentences more than I, you know, and he was like, you're getting paid today. And I was like, and the actor who got the lines kind of took me aside and was like, don't worry. This has happened to me. It's your second time on the show, right? And I was like, yeah. He was like, they'll probably bring you back. It's totally fine. I know how mad you are. And I was so happy he said that. He goes, dude, I've been doing this for a long time. That, what just happened, that I reluctantly was like, okay, I'll take him from this guy. He goes, it's happened. It's fine. Yeah. You're gonna survive.
World,
and I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
So it was.
I mean, I was like, cool, but in my head, I was like, you have ruined everything.
Your life.
I just recently
gave some of my lines on this last movie I shot to one of the. He had like one or two lines. I was like, do you want that line? Like,
that's why we have to struggle in those things so that you can give to the next kid who's
absolutely.
Just give me a little something.
Made me feel
and
even
so
better.
With everything, you know, coming from Switzerland, all this that you've given up, all of this effort, was that just the biggest thing in the world where you were like, holy shit, I'm in LA, I have been cast, and I will be on television?
Well, and
I have
that's
done
I mean,
it. It's the it first was, of, I hope to God, many, but like fucking finally.
I had totally forgotten about that till just now. You guys just reminded me of this traumatic moment. I had completely forgotten. It just shows you like how right now something may seem just so important.
Right.
And later on, you're just like, oh, that was like one line. But it was such a blessing because I ended up getting an even greater. I mean, I was a waitress. So, you know,
see,
but the other one was like a medio, like a, I can't remember what it was, but like I would have had to wear a bikini. It would have been a whole, like, this was way better. Like the one that I booked was meant for me. It was way better.
So I assume you lost the role because of paperwork thing, but obviously this guy really liked you. So everything got settled. And then down the line, he was like, Maya, bring you in again. And then like, there you go. Here's the better.
Unbelievable.
Isn't
and then
great?
Same thing happened with like, there was like a one line on Grey's Anatomy that like, I didn't like, I was one of two and I was on hold and they released me and I was like totally devastated and then ended up booking the biggest, you know, guest star on Grey's Anatomy. Like just it's always because there's something better on the other end. There's
and I'm so glad that you said that. There has so many, and we mentioned this with Robin, you know, regarding his character on Gotham. He didn't get something a year before, a huge role, but that
he was
led
on Breaking
to Gotham.
Bad.
Was it?
The casting directors loved him, and it was between him and someone else for a huge role on Breaking Bad, and he didn't get it, and he was devastated. And then like a year later, that same casting directors were like, he would be perfect for this, and brought him in, and he, you know, got the
it's
Penguin.
Just, we have
it was
to
like
abandon.
The, I think it was like the same sort of role,
yeah,
but it was a year later. They were like, oh, he was so close on that other. He would be perfect for this.
Right. Right. And we never know. Right.
And just also being generous with the idea that whoever did book the job, like that is the biggest thing for them. And also like, we don't know, like
fuck
this
them.
Might leave them.
No, but you're right. It's
the one girl that booked this job that I was, it could have been just the biggest blessing of my life. Or in my mind, it was like, she robbed me of my life, but she met her husband on that show. And
come on,
you know, like you can't, I would
Maya,
never,
you're bringing people together, Maya. That's
I am, but I would never like would want to get in the way of someone's destiny
totally.
Either. So it's
right.
Like whoever booked it, like there's a reason why they booked it and you didn't, and you'll never know. But just like that attracted more work my way when I started being happy for for whoever got it, you know?
Isn't that
totally
lovely?
And that's being more totally generous in that way of like, it yep wasn't meant for me.
There's always that like super cynical part of your mind when you're first starting and you haven't like booked anything major yet, and you see your friends going in for stuff and booking, and it like kind of like irks you because you're like, why can't I get in a fucking room? And then a few years go by, you have now booked some things, and everyone you hear who is, you're like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Right. Because you remember when you were that person, and now you had a little something, and it's like, I don't have that thing in my brain anymore of like being like, God damn it. Because not that I auditioned for those roles anyway, but like now anybody I know who gets anything, I'm like over the moon ecstatic for, and there's no.
The only way anymore you can put it is even if when you book a job and someone is a little like, there's a twinge, like it's okay because we all want the same thing. And ultimately, like I would never hold it against someone if someone felt a little jealous or some, like being open about it is really cool. And I've said totally that before. I'm like, oh God, like I'm so envious. Like you're crushing it. And I'm so jealous right now, but it'll pass. Okay. I'm so happy for you. Like all, cause it's never about them, but also
totally,
it just like that feeling doesn't always go away. And it, especially if it's something you really want, but that's okay. But the point is like, it's because you care. It's because you love what you do and you really want to work. Yeah. And so if you look at it from a positive perspective, it's just, you love what you do. You want to work.
It's very normal natural.
That you feel a little like, ugh, you know, and hiding it is sometimes like put on when you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. It's like, well, okay.
And then when you hug, you're like,
yeah, exactly. You're allowed to feel
like in the Gladiator with his dad. He's like, shh. Yeah.
Emptying is direction. Like it's showing you what direction you want to go, like where you want to go.
It's so great that you can, that you have these experiences like losing something and then have it be, you know, asserting itself in another place, another time, someone meets their partner because they got it. You know, it really does bleed into your real life. So when things happen to you outside of acting, like you didn't get that car that you wanted, or the house didn't go through an escrow and like whatever, it's like we are being taken care of. It's all going to work out. And just because you wanted something you didn't get, it doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. You don't know what is going to happen. You have no clue what's going on in the world and all the spider webs that come from everything else, you know? So it's another way that acting can really influence our daily lives and improve it. I know I'm a stronger person having been an actor than if I pursued any other job, because it unveils kind of a raw part of life that you can implement in your daily life, you know, and stuff like this, like acceptance and not controlling your destiny and knowing that there's stuff out there that is beyond my control and I'm just going to be cool and peaceful about it. You know, that can bleed into your normal life. So
absolutely.
That's wonderful.
So many tools that actually have changed my acting. And I think just sharing just that is just surrender, like surrender, full surrender. I practice gratitude now for the last 10 years, every single day, gratitude. I make lists of gratitude and goes along with my OCD, but it's honestly like just completely brought success into my life. Like I just feel like I got everything I've wanted through gratitude.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to start practicing gratitude, do it. Transcendental meditation, TM. I meditate twice a day, every day for the last maybe 12 years.
What has it done for you? I'd love to hear this.
Gratitude or meditation?
Meditation.
Meditation is just, I don't know how people live without meditating.
I'm honestly so resistant to it. It's awful.
Oh, but that's probably because you need to meditate.
I know. And the greatest things happen when I meditate, like the most crazy out of body, oh my God, that just happened sort of moments. And it's like, yeah, I'll do it like later.
It's when you don't want to meditate that you should meditate.
Right.
But yeah, it's, what has it done for me? It's, it allows me to really just, again, surrender is a big word.
Big time.
And like whatever stress I'm feeling, it just transcends it. And, you know, whenever I'm in a really awful life situations, those happen. And I just know that I can handle myself in a way that where I'm just impeccable with my word. I'm not taking anything personally. I'm doing all the four agreements if you've read the book, but like, I'm really just like, I'm able to stay level-headed and not, because I'm a very, especially for really highly emotional people, it's amazing. And I know that actors, oftentimes we are. And if you're super hypersensitive, then this is a tool where you get to just, you know, have that time for yourself where you can reconnect and like ask yourself questions that you wouldn't when you're just go. Like all of a sudden you're sitting with yourself and like, how am I really feeling? Am I okay? Like,
you know? Oh, lovely. Yeah. Such great tools.
Maya, are you there?
Are you there? Like, today? Are you okay? Like, how are you feeling? You know, and just being, having that time to check in and makes all
a personal inventory. It's really important.
Well, in actors, what do we say? Like, know thyself. Like, how better can you know thyself than sitting with yourself? You know?
Wow. I really needed this conversation. This is so great. And I love the language that you're speaking. Know thyself. That's another thing that being an actor, if you're going to book a role, you're going to know your type, you're going to know yourself, and you're going to know what you're capable of. You're going to know the things that your shortfalls, your deficiencies, your assets, what triggers you, all that stuff. And then, of course, how to handle certain things, because there is no structure in this life. There is no structure in this job. Mm-hmm. It's with highly emotional people who sometimes we feel like a flower, not a tree, you know, and we implement some sort of structured, regimented guiding system. Otherwise, how the fuck, I don't know how I acted when I was a drinker. I don't know how I acted. I don't know how I navigated these waters being so soaked in some sort of toxic version of myself, you know? So, lovely, lovely. And there's health, no coincidence that you're doing so well. What did you say?
I said health is wealth. Honestly, yes. Being healthy, being sober, I mean, I drink here and there, but like just – health is so underrated, but in this business, if you're not healthy, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
Your body's your instrument.
Yeah. Hello. I mean, it's going to happen. Like you're going to see people at an older age that are still drunk on set and whatever, but they're on their way out. Like if you want to get in the first place, you've got to be like, there's too much competition for you to be unhealthy and not. Yeah.
When you see a healthy actor who's got it together, as a producer, I trust them on my set. I trust them with the cast, with crew, with everything. You know, you're a professional. You're a business owner. You know, I don't have a fucking drunk dude coming to paint my siding. Like, I want someone who knows what they're doing. There's not going to be a liability. Okay, before we get any further, I would love to just quickly chat about the bookings and the kind of, not the staircase, because we know that's not the staircase, but, you know, you have.
I just watched the staircase. It's like you
me
like,
too.
Wait.
With Colin Firth.
Have we seen the documentary?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Have we seen the documentary?
Of course we saw it.
A long time.
It's like 13 fucking hours. Okay, so an owl did it. We all know this, right?
It was an owl.
Come on, it's an owl.
I just heard about someone getting attacked by an owl.
I mean,
Netflix even put a little featurette about the owl. This could be its whole episode.
I saw it, but I don't trust
the owl theory.
I know. I think it's an owl. My gut tells me he did it, but you know what? Maybe it's the owl.
But they gave him the out to say, listen, you're going to be released from prison. All you have to do is say that you did it. But here's a little asterisk that says you didn't. Just do it. He's like, no.
But
I'm not
a narcissist, like, I just,
yeah.
Keep that story alive. They would want to keep the story of innocence alive.
They would,
especially if
they're
borderline disorder and the lies already been there. But we've seen all the lies he's told. We've seen, but you know
this is a podcast.
Welcome
about
to
the
crime, true crime doc.
It's your fault you brought up
podcast.
Staircase.
We're talking about the staircase today.
Right. Oh my God, it's so good.
Right. Sister Catherine's on tomorrow. We're going to be talking to her. All right. So, So let's talk about real quick, the Shield Castle. This is when things start to be, this is concrete. You're on shows, you're on multiple episodes. How was that real quick? The process of auditioning, was it a casting director you've been in the room with before? Was there something serendipitous happening?
No, both Castle and Agents of Shield. I knew the casting directors from taking workshops. 100%. Like that I know that played a big factor in me.
That's an investment.
And this is like, again, great advice for newcomers. Like I did Castle. It was a 1-day guest star. And they just, because that was so fabulous. No, yeah. That's not what happened. I really wasn't. I just knew my lines because I was,
ran them 100 times.
Exactly. I'm an OCD freak. And I just knew this expositional work, and I did it so great because I worked so hard on it that they were like, oh, we'll bring you back for a second episode. And that second episode turned into 26 episodes.
Oh, we see this all the time on this show. It's like one of our favorite things.
Or somebody, yeah. Somebody.
Yeah, and then same with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to be a two episode, and then I ended up doing 8 or something like that. So, it's just also don't forget that the audition is still while you're on set, like even if it's a co-star, be your best self. You never know where this could lead. And, and again, it wasn't like I was like pushy or like, oh, I hope they bring me back. Like I had no idea, but you're not needy. You know what you want. You just
get out of the way.
Get out of the
you're
way.
You're a guest in their house.
Be professional.
Act like a guest in someone's house.
I think the worst energy, and I see it now that I touch wood, like get leads in movies, like even if it's like a needy co-star, like I want to get away. Like I don't want to deal with that energy. But when it's someone that's so sweet and like kind of staying out of the way, like I want to talk to you. Like, who are you? Like I want
to, right. So that's attractive to people.
It's attractive to just do your job well and just, again, you don't need anything from them. You're here to give your gift and you're just gifting them with your presence. And just stay out of the way. And that's what will attract, people wanting to talk to you. And by the way, I talk to everyone. I'm not like one of those that's like, oh, of course. Everyone with respect and kindness, background.
It takes a village.
Yes.
It takes an army to make these things.
Because I was background, I now always remind myself, like, just talk to everyone on set. Like, especially you're all going to be superstars listening to this. Just make sure you're always kind and nice to the cleaners, the workers,
because everybody's watching, and who knows well, yes. Anyway, you should do that anyway no matter what, but remember that are kind of being watched especially if you're coming into the home team's territory.
But both those jobs, by the way, I was fully prepared, there was no miracle story there.
Right.
I remember I was sobbing in the bathroom to my mom before the audition, and I was like, it was again about visa stuff. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And then I was not dressed the part on Castle. Like everyone was like in their suits. That's I guess a good advice too, is like, don't be afraid to be different. Everyone's doing the same thing. Like, even
they're all coming in with suits.
Yeah, or all coming.
Why are her pants tucked into her socks?
Weird
choice.
It's not that you want to stand out necessarily, but like, don't be afraid to like take a risk. Take a little risk in every audition.
Within reason. Within reason.
And well, that's why I said a little risk.
Right.
But also just. Be messy is my best advice. Always like be messy. Human beings are messy. And whenever I've been messy in an audition, that's when I book it, because especially for type A people, which you both seem like kind of, you're hosting a podcast and you're very on top of your thing. But like whenever something out of the ordinary happens, that's usually where the magic happens. So like, don't feel like you need to do things perfectly, because that's not interesting. No one wants to see a perfect human being.
Think the best things come out of that organic.
Yeah, maybe unexpected. I don't know.
There's authenticity, there's originality, there's spontaneity, there's energy, there's all that stuff. And it's doing the work, then when you do the work, and then you're open to all the stuff coming because you're at the driver's seat. You know exactly where you're going. Now you can just play,
And you give it a little edge, because you got to assume they're going to see 15 of maybe an exact cutout of the scene. Yeah. So if, you know, you come into it with something different, it's like, that was cool.
Bring your
and
own
hey, look, staff. And even if you don't get the job, that's the shit that they will then remember to keep bringing you back is like, you know, look, Maya may not have gotten the job, but she always just sort of brings something different into these scenes. So we just keep calling her back, you know?
Yeah, it's just bringing the you, bringing the you, bringing your own swag, bringing the, you know, that little special you. We're all, that's what makes
you, yeah. You. Well, you
Maya,
know, you're,
this is
you're,
great.
Yeah, you're right, Maya, too, about coming to this new level, because what I'm seeing is there's you only just got started there. You know, this is the beginning chapters of what I can see to be a wonderful career. So I hope you're excited and hope filled. You should be.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah. This is wonderful. What can you say to actors who are listening in and could use a bit of advice just regarding your own process? And you've already given us so many great little nuggets, but anything else that you can give them?
I think it's exactly what you said. You know, I'm 35 now, and I feel like in a way I am just getting started. And you would have told me at 22 that you're going to have to wait till you're 35 to really feel like you're getting, I would have punched you in the face. I would have been like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. I don't have that time. And the truth is, I wish someone told me that you do have that time. You do have it. And it doesn't matter when. I just said that recently, like all my favorite actors are in their 50s, 60s, like they're, and now I'm not even talking about them when they were 20, like I'm talking about them now, like this is who I want to watch on my TV. I want to watch the Colin Firths that where I forget it's even an actor. Right. Like I thought I was just watching the guy.
His voice work is insane. Oh, he sounds exactly like him.
His little
there's times I'm like,
oh yeah.
It like kind of weirds me out because he doesn't, it's not like a perfect look, but that voice, holy shit, on the staircase, it's incredible.
It's just like you will get better as time goes along. So if you book your series when you are 40, then good for you. You're a better actor now. You would have sucked when you booked it then. So like, don't be in a rush. Like if you're committed for life to this job that is acting, then there's no rush. Like just keep doing your thing. You're going to book a role. If you keep working, like it's going to happen. It's bound to happen. So just, yeah, do other stuff in the meantime, you know, like get married, have babies, like play with your dog.
Live life. Well, you know, it's not the booking isn't the only thing that are high watermarks in your career. For me,
no.
I knew that it was 35, 42, something like that. It was going to be an in between. I'm going to book a few things, but more importantly, I'm going to go through these life experiences because of acting, picking up and leaving, having to sleep in my car and like experience poverty and get the call that changed my life and fall in love and all that stuff up to that point. It's all these high watermarks. Just because I wasn't booking huge roles in this year or that year doesn't mean I wasn't experiencing this story. You know, the bookings are just part of the story. It doesn't matter when they're coming. It's the learning and the training and the experiencing and the living all between that make
the
acting the great process.
The journey is so good. The journey is so good. And looking back, like I wouldn't change a thing. And all the disappointment, all of that, like it's all a part of it and it's all great. Like it's all when I get a disappointment, when I don't book the role that I want, I say thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad I didn't book that.
You're a success story, Maya, just because of your perspective and how you handle all this. You really, that's success to me, is how you handle yourself, not the great parts of it, but the bad too. And you're a true pro. Really. Oh. I love talking to you. This was wonderful. I needed this conversation.
Tommy, Adam, you guys are so great. I really like, I'm so glad that we did this.
I got the
email and I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do a podcast.
So glad you were down for it.
But you guys are awesome and you are helping, I'm sure, so many actors. So like that's good karma just right there.
Amen.
And please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Maya.
This has been such a great conversation.
Where can people find you, Maya, if they want to stalk you and look you up?
Where can people find me? They can find me on Instagram, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is that a
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. That's a thing.
It's just my name.
Honey, do I have an Instagram? Yeah, I have an Instagram. Yep.
What is the I don't even know what my Instagram, gosh, I think it's Maya.Stoyan. Yeah, there's like a few fakes. So like make
okay.
sure.
Okay. Oh yeah. That's when you made it big, is when you got fake.
Well, I mean,
impersonating your, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's just like people from home that are just like, I don't know.
Oh, maybe
fan page.
Right.
I don't know. But yeah, Maya.Stoyan, I believe. Is
lovely. Lovely.
Awesome. Do you have anything coming up in the pipeline? Anything exciting?
Yeah, I just finished a movie with Mickey Rourke and Mina Suvari.
No.
Yes. Speaking nice. Of health. Love.
What is it called?
But wonderful actors. And so I'm excited to.
What is it called?
It's called Hunt Club. Sorry. Hunt Club.
Hunt Club.
It's very violent and very crazy. But
lovely. Okay. Awesome. We'll awesome. Look out for it. Okay, Maya. Thank you for stopping by. We
thank
so
you. This was so great.
It. Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. And we'll chat soon.
Lovely. Keep us posted with anything coming out too, so we can plug it. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Maya.
All right.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's so lovely.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. It really. I like never get over all the, international. And then trying to like all of that green card visa stuff,
we
talked
be
before, like nightmare. It is so hard to start here.
Yeah.
And you know, for us, how it's so hard and, you know, to add all of that stress, and, you know, like she said, like, no, there's no other option. If I'm doing it, right. I don't have time or the luxury to like take any I don't have time to not be doing this.
I wonder
full
what our,
stop every day.
Yeah. I wonder if our progress would have been faster if we had the pressure of like,
oh my God,
a country saying you're going to have to go. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to get this monologue down. All right. I got to take this class.
I remember how stressful all that was.
Oh yeah.
Those years, you know, trying to like get started.
Yeah.
You know, without that, like, oh my God, that just, it seems crushing. So I just like really hats off to everybody who's doing that. If you're, you know, not of an American citizen, you're trying to become an actor and you're really working your mm-hmm. ass off. Holy crap. But yeah, what a great story and what a great career. And she, you know, like we said, feels like she's just
really getting started.
Getting the engine turning, and I'm sure she's going to have a really fabulous few years up.
I think not only, you know, she's a talented actress, but the perspective that she has is the thing that probably seals the deal for the package of this working actor, is that it's a result of struggle, learning, evolving, that gratitude, that acceptance, that saying thank you after you lose something. You only lose so many, you have to lose a lot of things and find freedom to get to that point. Like that is acceptance is the hardest thing just normally in everyday life, but have as an actor where you've got one chance this month to book something and that's gone, you know, that is a hard thing to swallow. And I think that is the thing that's going to take her career all the way to the end is that kind of perspective.
Yeah, she has a really amazing state of mind of all of it, which you need to survive in the long run.
Yes, take note. If you enjoyed this this podcast, really like listen to Maya and how she comes to, you know, the conclusions of certain things that may not be favorable for her, like losing a job, you know, that stuff has been a game changer for me. I don't know if I could have lasted this long if I didn't have that sort of that kind of acceptance. So lovely, 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 lovely chat. Okay, friends and neighbors, you can find out more about Before the Break and how to become a working actor at workingactorpro.com. Follow us on Instagram at Before the Break Pod. and Working Actor Pro. Check out Adam's stuff at adamdecarlo.com. Follow him at @AdamDeCarlo. You can see my stuff at TommyBeardmore.com and follow me at I'm Tommy, by the way. Don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a rating, and write a review. If you like what you heard, check back next week for an all-new episode with an all-new guest, Adam.
That was a good one. Everybody, next week,
oh, we have heavens.
A really awesome guest.
Big time.
So come back next week. It's a good one.
We'll see you then.
We recorded it a while ago, but it's finally coming out. And
big
it's
time,
awesome.
Big time, big time. And some big news coming out in association with that post, too.
All righty, everybody. See you next week.
Adios.
You've been listening to Before the Break. The hosts are Tommy Beardmore and Adam DeCarlo, cover art by Amanda June Boucher, music by Benjamin Sturley. Before the Break is recorded live from Los Angeles and New York City.